system of the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha families, which is the oldest bloodline of European bloodlines in the world, in which all European bloodlines agree are their progenitors, going back to their founder, Vlad the Impaler. Count Dracula is the recognized head of the entire dynasty.
His Royal Highness Prince Charles, who can trace his ancestry back to Romania's dark and distant past.
The genealogy shows that I'm descended from Vlad the Impaler, you see. So I do have a bit of a stake in the country.
As it were.
And so this House of the Dragon that flies the dragon banner, the Dracul, rule the planet, just like Revelation tells us the dragon. And it's allied with the other dragon, the Chi-Coms, and its goal is feudalism, but with a high-tech overlay.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
And if you go back to the Aztecs, or the ancient Chinese, or the ancient Europeans, or the ancient Africans, everybody behaved the same. You had cycles, and you would get cycles of society building up, developing technology, agrarian systems, developing towns and cities, and then the cults take over, the high priests take over, and they always use environmental reasons for the reason that they have to dominate and demand human sacrifices and control over the public.
So the Illuminati is basically just an extension of the mystery religion system, the whole type of philosophy.
Yes, it was a way of hoarding knowledge and power to a few special people.
And how do they hoard the knowledge?
Well, when I say knowledge, some of the knowledge is pseudo-knowledge, and some of the knowledge is actually scientific knowledge, which enabled, for instance, Christopher Columbus to be certain that he could sail across the Atlantic and hit land. He was associated with the Knights Templars, which is one of these secret societies associated with the Illuminati. So you've got different types of knowledge, but some of the knowledge is actually bogus. It's just claimed so that they can get people to join whatever mystery religion they're trying to offer.
And the UN and others at the Club of Rome in the 1960s, early 1960s, said, we're going to bring back the superstition of the pagans, and we're going to teach people they're bad and teach them they're evil and teach them that they have to pay and teach them that old people have to die and babies have to be killed because there's too many people. So that we have a barbarous civilization that's the opposite of the Renaissance and Christianity, but one that is kill and be killed. And we believe this is the natural system of survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, and so we're going to bring this back. And that's the real system we're transitioning to now. We hear about a transition. So they've decided to get rid of that and replace it with the old authoritarian model of barbarism that has the exact same features, no matter what color you are or where your ancestors came from. Humans act the same in these cycles over and over again.
The satanic rituals that they carry out, which are horrendous traditional rituals, blood sacrifices, requires a certain level of insanity and disassociative ability. If you were a normal, sane person and you had to participate in the higher level Illuminati rituals, you'd probably go crazy. It's absolutely essential that they maintain the bloodlines.
These are religious sacraments to these people of power over you. And they don't like the fact you're straight and strong. They don't like the fact you're good. They don't like the fact you're hardworking. They don't like the fact you want justice. They want to hurt you. They want to dominate you to fill that empty spot in their heart.
The world has, for the most part, stopped asking for the current whereabouts. You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Wednesday, June 19th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on this Juneteenth, June 19th, 2024. It's Juneteenth now. Juneteenth. What is Juneteenth? What even is it? Well, it was made a federal holiday, what, last year? The year before, maybe? Prior to that, it was a Texas holiday. I guess you could say I have a complicated past with Juneteenth. Because it used to be fun. It used to be just an excuse to have a party. Back before it was picked up as a racially divisive tool of the left. It was fun. It used to be fun. Juneteenth is the celebration, the anniversary of the news of emancipation arriving in Texas. And this was, I think it would have been like a year or two after the Civil War ended and the Emancipation Proclamation was issued. Of course, when the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, it didn't actually free any slaves. It actually had provisions saying the states that are in the Union can still have slaves. It freed all the slaves in the southern states, which at the time were not under the control of the federal government. So it didn't actually free any slaves when it was first issued. But once the Civil War was won, obviously the Emancipation Proclamation came into effect. But it still took a while for the news to arrive in the farther reaches of the frontier. And so June 19th was the date that the news of emancipation was delivered from a balcony in Galveston to the people of Texas. So for a while, it was like a Texas central holiday, Texas centered holiday, as it was about the news arriving in Texas. And it used to be in high school. It was an excuse to go to Miller Outdoor Theater in Houston and listen to Zydeco music and dance. And it was very fun. Maybe I was just missing out on the like racial overtones of it all. Obviously, it was about the end of slavery. But it didn't feel exclusionary. Now it feels exclusionary. It felt, in high school at least, like a corollary to July 4th, in that July 4th was the declaration of, you know, the promise of America, and Juneteenth was sort of its fulfillment. It was a time when, because at the time, California, I think, was, I'm not even sure if it was a state yet. When was California made a state? Because Texas was made a state in 1845. I think Texas was the farthest flung state at that point, state of the Union. 1850, okay, so California was a state at that point. But it wasn't ever a slave state. So it represented sort of the abolishing of slavery nationwide at that point. And again, in the in In the good old days, 20 years ago, it felt like just a celebration of being American. Now it really doesn't feel that way. I don't know. It feels kind of bizarre to have a federal holiday that seems exclusive to a minority population. It's like, happy Juneteenth. Okay. I guess. I don't know. I liked it when it was a celebration of the end of slavery, the promise of America, unity. It has since been twisted and warped and perverted and is now a racial holiday, I guess, for black people. But I think it should be more than that. I think it should be a celebration of white people. I think it should be a celebration of the European character that abolished slavery worldwide. Essentially. I mean, around the world, slavery still flourishes. Not in the white places, obviously, but everywhere else, you know, pretty much. Obviously, Africa has cobalt mines and just horrific conditions that is basically akin to chattel slavery. But chattel slavery as a concept doesn't really exist anymore. It did for all of human history. For as long as human beings have interacted with each other, there's been some form of slavery or another. And chattel slavery was a very widespread phenomenon forever throughout history until white people decided to abolish it. And England actually spent like an entire year's of their military and governmental budget to eradicate the slave trade, stop the Portuguese and others from participating in the transatlantic trade. But of course, slavery still exists in an official capacity in places like Qatar and the UAE, where you have the new World Cup stadiums built with slave labor. Obviously, China, it's not chattel slavery, but it is a form of slavery, where even your final escape of suicide is stolen from you with suicide nets preventing you from escaping even through death. What is that flag? What the hell is that? The radio listeners, I guess this is what you get when you search Juneteenth on Google. What was that flag? It just said like freedom. And these hands went by. What is that flag, though? I'm very confused. That's not an American flag. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're wearing, like, African colors, and there's some mysterious flag. I would like to know what flag that is. It's not America. It's not about America. But obviously, you know, slavery still exists in a very widespread way. But not in the West, not in places where the European diaspora has settled. We decided to end it worldwide, and we're largely successful. Of course, white people were, for a very long time, the primary victims of slave trades. The Ottomans depopulated the coasts of Ireland. The word Slavic sounds a lot like slave, doesn't it? Well, that's because that's what the Romans saw them as. It's like, these are the slaves from this area, and the people still in that area are the slaves we just haven't caught yet. And of course, there's the Civil War and the hundreds of thousands of Americans who died to free the slaves. So I think that would make Juneteenth worthy and useful, is celebrating the cultural achievements and advancements. Oh, it's the Juneteenth flag. Wonderful. There's a flag I'm learning. Juneteenth flag is a symbol for the Juneteenth holiday. The first version was created in 1977 by activist Ben Hyth. Who's this Ben Hyth character? Let's do a little hopscotch. Boston Ben. American activist from Boston, Massachusetts, been active in anti-crime groups since the 1980s. Oh, so he's a racist. He's a pro-cop racist, probably. Yeah, we should celebrate it as the cultural achievement, one not achieved by any other group of people for tens of thousands of years, until the European continent advanced to a point. Slavery was not just unnecessary, but morally abhorrent, and it was abolished. And isn't that nice? Isn't that nice to live in a world advanced enough to recognize the horrors of slavery and to work and sacrifice and fight to abolish it? What a beautiful thing that is. So we should recognize the cultural achievements and advancements that abolished slavery worldwide, courtesy of the European people, and should use it as a time to advocate against the slavery that still exists now, slavery that is perpetuated by big tech companies offshoring their manufacturing to places where slavery can lower their production costs, or mining the rare earth minerals with gangs of slaves, or the slave trade open air slave markets in Libya following the collapse of the Gaddafi government. And it is just one of those things. It could be nice. It would be nice if these sorts of cultural achievements, these sorts of, you know, the fulfillment of the promise of America was a chance to celebrate all of America. Instead, it's been hijacked by the left, who despise America, who ironically blame white people alone for slavery, despite that being a total inversion of reality. And a time to further hammer white people for the sins of their ancestors, while of course denying them the glory of their ancestors. This was spoken very eloquently about in clip number 7. I'm not sure who this guy is. Maybe his name's on the video, but I just saw it reposted. I wish I could give the guy credit. But here he is talking about the truth about slavery.
Black people sold black people, white people just paid for it. My great-great-grandmother was sold by her father to another black man, who then sold her to who became her husband and had kids. Not a white person in sight. Well, so while people are being stuck on, especially when I hear this dumbass thing as reparations for slavery, I'm like, dude, slavery was everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
There was slavery in the Arab world, in the Persian world, in the Greek world, in Europe. White, blonde, blue-eyed Polish people were slaves to Germans. So white, blonde, blue-eyed Germans. So what are you talking about? Like slavery is something that only black... You guys pay too much respect to racism.
Yeah.
If we were all white or we were all black, we're still going to discriminate against each other.
You know what we discriminate against? Eye color.
Thank you very much.
It's human nature.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
We'll find something. Oh, your ear is too big. I tell people, as long as you are competition, you're a threat. And as long as you're a threat, somebody will try to do something to remove you. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. And on the opposite side, as long as you can add value, doesn't matter if you're black or if you're white, you will be appreciated or recognized.
Very, very well said. Very well said. And that is what it's about. And again, I wish we lived in a world where white people weren't under constant attack. I'm sick of talking about it too, but that's just the case now. If black people were being discriminated against and demonized and openly told that their DNA is evil and their children being basically traumatized in elementary school, being told that they're the cause of all the world's problems, yeah, I'd stand up against that. That's not happening, though. That is happening to white people. So it's incumbent on people with a heart, with a good moral compass, to stand up against this, no matter who it's affecting. And it's just sad to see what could be an opportunity for celebrating the promise and the fulfillment of that promise of America, of everybody, of every race, color, and creed, being free to follow their conscience But instead, it's been hijacked as a way to further divide people. So I feel like I can't in good conscience participate knowing how this has been hijacked and warped. Tony, I can't pronounce that. Tonye Nwanyu. Thank you, Dan. I don't know how you knew how to say that. Tonye Nwanyu. I don't know how to say it, but I like the guy. And there's his Instagram post. So anyway, that's my Juneteenth spiel. Something that I used to look forward to a lot, and now just feel embarrassed that I used to be so into it. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Not really, though. Not really. I just didn't see how it was going to be hijacked in the way that it was. So I'll hold on to my fond memories of boogieing down at a Miller Outdoor Theater to the New Orleans Brass Band. All right, we've got a lot of news to cover today. We're going to be joined by Henry Facey in the second hour to talk about how he infiltrated a illegal migrant camp in Massachusetts. He's done this multiple times. His latest footage is no less shocking than the earlier stuff. And then we pre-recorded an interview with Peter St. Ange that we'll be playing in the third hour. He is a very, very highly informed economist. I'm very excited to show you our conversation that we had yesterday. So big show for you today coming up. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 19th of June, 2024. Feds building massive detention facilities in all 50 states to imprison political dissidents, documentary claims. The U.S. federal government is in the process of building a massive network of internment camps spanning all 50 states intended not to house illegal aliens, but political dissidents, a shocking documentary claims. Speaking to redacted Clayton Morris, former Customs and Border Protection agent J.J. Carroll revealed a whistleblower in his upcoming documentary called Treason exposes the scheme to build massive facilities that can house tens of thousands of people in every single state. It's not for these illegals, says former federal contractor Christy Hutcherson in an excerpt from the documentary. I believe it's kind of like what the Nazis did with the Jews, concentration camps, processing facilities. They're going to need somewhere to process the dissidents, she said. The 24-year CBP veteran went on to tell Morrison Hutcherson that access to federal databases, he has access, where bids are placed for a variety of contracts. But she says to me, there's bids for detention facilities being built in all 50 states in America. There's also deals with organizations, corporations like Walmart, to convert their stores into holding facilities as well. They are planning on detaining and corralling massive numbers of Americans. For what purpose and at what sign, we don't know, but they are preparing. Now, they say these camps are not to be used for illegal aliens, but they could be. But actually, they could be, though. So this is the thing. All of the stuff the New World Order is preparing for us is a gamble on their part. They're gambling that they remain in power. If they don't remain in power, what they've done is constructed the weapons that will be used against them, if we have the will to use them. Moving on, speaking of the migrant invasion, migrant accused of sexually assaulting 13-year-old girl in New York City Park was ordered removed by immigration judge 2 years ago. The Ecuadorian migrant arrested Tuesday in the sexual assault of a 13-year-old girl in Queens Park has been ordered to leave the U.S. back in 2022, the Post has learned. An immigration judge in New York City ordered Christian Giovanni Ignalandi, 25, to leave the country February 2nd, 2022, according to DHS sources. He crossed the besieged U.S.-Mexico border on June 25th, 2021, with his son into Eagle Pass, Texas, where he was captured, processed and released by Border Patrol agents, according to the sources. He and his then 3-year-old son were released to a local nonprofit organization with a document providing a future court date known as a notice to appear document. And he went on to rape a 13-year-old girl at knife point in a city park. These families, these poor innocent families seeking shelter. Now, he was using his 3-year-old son as a boarding pass, as a passport to get into our country. probably with the intention from the very beginning, getting his hands on an American girl. Meanwhile, avian bird flu suddenly becomes cow flu as dairy farms begin culling animals to destroy the domestic food supply. The story from Infowars.com. The fulfillment of what we reported on weeks ago, where they were issuing PCR tests to every cow in America, knowing that eventually there would be a positive result, especially with the easily manipulatable results from PCR tests. Easily get false positives. You can choose to do it, or it'll just happen naturally because they're not designed to do what they're being used to do right now. And so they prepared everything. They had all the orders for culling. They had all of the processes in place, just waiting for that inevitable positive PCR test. They've got some, so now they are culling the cow population. Not because bird flu is actually a threat to humans, but because they're using it as an excuse to shut down our ability to feed ourselves in order to make us dependent on a global system of supply. Meanwhile, Russia and North Korea signed mutual defense pact. The Russian President Vladimir Putin and the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un have signed a pact that includes a clause requiring the countries to come to each other's aid if either is attacked. Yes, another easily foreseeable side effect of the Ukraine war, driving our enemies into each other's hands and forming the alliances that we will soon go to war against. Speaking of, Israel and Lebanon escalate rhetoric as U.S. tries to prevent war. Not very hard, though, let's be honest. Yeah, I'm trying, just not, you know, super hard. Israel Foreign Minister Israel Katz warned on Tuesday that a decision on all-out war with Hezbollah was coming soon, even as the United States tries to avert any escalation. U.S. Envoy Amos Hochstein was sent to Lebanon. Yes, very, very unbiased envoy, I'm sure. I had to try to cool tensions following an increase in cross-border fire along Lebanon's southern frontier that's escalated to Hezbollah hinting it could attack Haifa, Israel's third largest city. In an all-out war, Hezbollah will be destroyed and Lebanon will be severely beaten, says the Israeli leader. Israel's military later said that operational plans for an offensive in Lebanon were approved and validated, and decisions were taken on the continuation of increasing the readiness of troops in the field. Yeah, they're planning on bombing Beirut like they're bombing Gaza. It's not that complicated. They can't actually destroy Hezbollah. They can't even destroy Hamas. Hamas is still carrying out effective counterattacks against people in the north of Gaza. They haven't even cleared out a segment of Gaza yet. But they think they're going to be able to clear out Hezbollah from Lebanon. Okay, we're talking about in terms of power level, Droopy the dog versus Superman here. Hamas is totally cut off from supply, totally impoverished, tiny area, totally surveilled, totally surrounded by enemies. Lebanon, on the other hand, borders to foreign countries, massive supply of armaments, weapons manufacturing facilities, a mountainous region that you cannot invade at all. I was going to say easily, but really you just, it's almost impossible to invade it. So what do they think they're doing here? Well, what they're doing is they're putting Israel in an existential crisis in order to force Americas to come to their aid and be embroiled in a full-fledged way in a new war in the Middle East, just one front in the global world war currently being waged.
HSBC and JP Morgan Chase. So you look at what do they do? What are they the biggest banks in the world of? Those two are number one and number two largest short sellers of silver on the planet. Those two banks. And now we're starting to see a short squeeze happening in silver. But we had 568 million ounces of silver being shorted, naked shorts, meaning they don't own the assets. They just put these futures contracts on them to shorts to drive the price down. Well, when you have a short position and the value of the underlying thing that you're shorting goes up, Alex, you lose money hand over fist in multiples, not dollar for dollar, but multiples. The day before Iran basically sent those drones into Israel, China made this announcement, said, hey, everybody in China, start buying silver. Don't just buy gold, buy silver.
You made the point that China was trying to call the naked shorts of the Western central banks.
Look at what's happened to silver since that time. Skyrocketing. You've got low supply, you've got high demand, you've got a short squeeze starting where the manufacturers of the world, the defense contractors, the aerospace industry, the fuel cell technology people, the solar people, they all need silver, and there's not much available because India has already committed to 66% of the world's supply this year. So here's where we've got this short squeeze happening. Physical supply coming out of inventory, not available for the manufacturers to purchase. And what has happened to the price of silver in the last 2.5 months? Literally, the last 75 days or so, silver's gone from 22.5 to almost 32. It's up like 45% in 2.5 months. And you've got those Western banks that have millions, hundreds of millions of ounces of silver short, and the price went up 45%. They are losing money hand over fist. So part of me says this kind of being on the wrong side of a price move when it's leveraged could cause HSBC and JP Morgan Chase to have a really, really, really big financial problem. And their CEOs are jumping ship. They're getting out of Dodge. Our firm is just different. We charge 8% when you purchase, 0% when you liquidate. We buy directly from the depository in Shiner, Texas, the Texas Precious Metals Depository. So their wholesale prices, you tack on 8%, they ship it directly to you. When you sell it back, we take nothing, zero, and whatever the depository prices are, you get all of it. See, that's a huge difference from buying a rare coin, something that has a high commission, high premium, where even after the big move in silver that we've seen, you still haven't even broken even.
KEPM.com/gold. Check them out. Go on the site. Call them. Get a consultation. Email them. Talk to them. 720-605-3900. Again, that's 720-605-3900. One of the most important calls you would make, obviously, and like he's been saying, get silver. It's up 40% on the year. He says that he'll make such profits in silver when the gold run starts. You use that profit to buy the gold, and you sell it back to Dr. Kirk Elliott with zero cost, which no big broker, no big company does. That's why there are 4.7-star ratings that nobody else has. KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
One of the interesting things about the modern world is you get to see psyops born and bred in real time. Yesterday, we saw Karine Jean-Pierre claim that the videos of Joe Biden looking like a complete incompetent idiot were cheap fakes. Half laughing, half terrified at the idea that the modern establishment, the White House, is literally telling us that real videos of things that actually happened were AI generated and not real. Truly bizarre. Now, for our country, I think, to have any hope whatsoever, this should have been met with a chorus of denunciation from the mainstream media. Because everybody can recognize what a disturbing precedent this is setting. It's actually kind of terrifying knowing that you can actually capture something on video and the authorities who have been entrusted, have been empowered, have been authorized as the sole exercisers of physical force in this country. It's terrifying that these people with this inordinate power and control would look you right in the eye and say, that's a deep fake. That's AI. That's not real. That's Russian disinformation. Right? I'm talking about Soviet level propaganda. I don't even know if the Soviets were this brazen. And so you would expect the media, even if just to preserve their own frayed and you know, practically broken at this point, trust in the American people have for them, you would expect them, even if out of a sense of self-preservation, to go, all right, we're not going to go along with this. You can make up a name for these videos, but they still exist and this is still real. But that's not what's happened. No, instead you get headlines like this. Cheap fake Biden videos burst onto national spotlight. White House officials are aggressively pushing back against a wave of cheap fake videos that purportedly show President Biden being confused or meandering and which question his mental and physical fitness ahead of the election. The rise of the videos, which do not use artificial intelligence but are cropped or edited in a way that's misleading, marks the latest instance of how technology may be used deceptively during the 2024 campaign. So the mainstream media is on board with this. Like, this is how it works. They have received the signal. They were all wondering, you know, we can't just ignore these videos. There are too many of them. They're constant. They never end. Every day there's another one. We can't just pretend to be blind to this. Everybody knows we're lying in that case. So what do we do? And then they're given the phrase, the word, the double speak label, cheap fake. They go, oh, thank goodness. Now we can just call them cheap fakes. Doesn't mean anything. It literally means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It's like just erase the word cheap fake with some other made up nonsense. We're going to call them bedoozle. Just bedoozle Biden videos burst onto national spotlight. It's just like this doesn't mean anything. It's not a label that means any. What it means is it's a video of that looks bad for the Democrats. That's all that cheap fake means. Cheap fake is just a label that means the mainstream media can have justification for ignoring bad publicity about Joe Biden. In other words, if they see a video of Joe Biden failing to exit a room or walk across a lawn or walk upstairs or look the correct direction during a major event or not poop himself. Like, if you get a video of him failing to do one of these things, you can just ignore it and go, well, I'm not going to fall for this cheap fake. In other words, I'm not going to air the thing that makes us look bad. And I'm able to pretend that it's not pure partisan hackery because I have this term now. I have this word called cheap fake. And now I can just ignore I can ignore reality now. That's what it means. I get why the White House would want to push this. And it's sad to me to know that this is how it works, that the White House comes up with this term. It means absolutely nothing. It doesn't disprove anything. It's just literally nothing. And then it gets pushed out to the media and seeing all the media just pared it back verbatim. And it's everywhere, right? The stories from The Hill, but CNN, CBS, they all have these stories now. White House battles cheap fake videos. Cheap fake videos are a new phenomenon, a new danger of uncontrolled media that we have to be on guard for. And so, you know, that message is getting to people where, you know, if they aren't watching InfoWars, if they aren't seeing all of the videos of Joe Biden daily, almost hourly, making a complete fool of himself, then all they know, they're being primed that, hey, if you see a video of Biden making a fool of himself, just shrug it off. Just go, it's a cheap fake. I don't have to pay attention to that. I don't have to think about that. I don't have to, you know, fold this new revelation into my pre-existing worldview. I can just ignore it. My worldview can go uncontested by reality. It's legitimately sad knowing that if I were to go out in the street right now, but I guarantee you people have already gotten the message. They've already heard this. If I go up to people in the street, I guarantee you, if I say, what about all these videos of Joe Biden being an incompetent zombie? What about all these videos where his brain stops working halfway through the sentence? I guarantee you already a good portion of people would go, oh, those are cheap. Oh, those are just cheap fakes. Oh, those are just cheap fakes. Those are dishonestly edited. I mean, they say that about Project Veritas. They say it about everything. It's just not true. Again, how they can even say this with a straight face when the videos that we're talking about are totally uncut, just straight up cell phone or broadcast footage of an event. Not a single cut, not a single edit, not a single manipulation. And yet they just say that it is totally shameless. Totally, utterly shameless. Don't we have a video from yesterday of Joe Biden? I mean, it's not like an occasional thing. I know if you watch this show, you've probably heard this quite a bit, but it just goes to the level of mind control the mainstream media has. Let's go to clip number 5 here. Because remember, you know, yesterday we showed you 3 instances in 24 hours. Joe Biden getting lost on stage and having Obama carry him around, Giorgia Meloni having to turn him around to face the thing that everybody's looking at, and then the video of him trying to say something about jobs, and his son says Joe Jobs, and unemployment is higher than lower unemployment is Joe Jobs. I mean, totally embarrassing. That was yesterday. Today we have a new clip, because of course we do, because it's constant. Here's the latest cheap fake. Maybe we should just embrace it. Kind of like how they tried to coin the term fake news and Trump was just like, you're fake news. Maybe that's what we need to do. We should be like, here's the, you know, cheap fake just needs to be the term now for the cheap fake government that we have. This is a video of the cheap fake administration at work. Biden is a cheap fake. Maybe we can turn this around on him. Maybe we can head him off at the pass. So here's the latest cheap fake video of cheap fake President Biden trying to say words and failing. Clip 5.
Thanks to all the members of Congress and Homeland Security Secretary. I'm not sure you're going to do show away.
Yeah, cheap fake Biden. There's cheap fake, old cheap fake Biden trying to... I was even trying to say words. The Homeland Secretary. Yeah, that's Biden. Biden the cheap fake. I think that's it. I think that's the strategy. Biden is a cheap fake. Videos of Biden is videos of a cheap fake.
When we came out with Nitric Boost 3 years ago, it was a sleeper product. I didn't even promote it. But as listeners began to use it, it has become one of our top selling products because of the incredible results they get. If you want to give your cardiovascular system a leg up, if you want to go in and help clean out and purify your blood, ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost is the way to go. You've heard Dr. Judy Mikovits talk about how it's an amazing formula. This is what she's recommended to people. Ladies and gentlemen, it does so many great things. Like what you notice, what happens in the morning if you're a man, feel like I'm 16 years old again.
When I was 16, I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
Nitric Boost is simply amazing. It's great for women as well. Get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off. But that is a limited time sale. But right now, it's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you all for your support.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of brain force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff. And I have an incredibly demanding job, but you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Cognitive dissonance is a major issue amongst the left. It can be very stressful dealing with facts you refuse to accept. If you have a family member suffering from this degenerative mental condition, buy them a bottle of Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com. Studies have suggested that fish oils and fish oil supplementation can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease triglyceride levels, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and provide a soothing reduction in inflammatory responses in joints and the digestive system. Recent studies have suggested that high EPA and DHA fish oil can stimulate immune function by increasing the concentration and activity of immune cells. It worked for my family, and now I can have a logical and calm discussion about actual facts that pertain to reality. Get your Ultimate Fish Oil for a friend, family member, or yourself at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
All right, welcome back, folks. There's some pretty big developments in COVID revelations from Reason.com. Anthony Fauci's inner circle initially thought COVID came from a lab. Not that they told us that. No, they'd rather bury what they know about the global once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. I'm sure that makes it easier to figure out how to combat and mitigate it, right? When the people that know about it lie about it. Again, it doesn't matter if you believe our version of COVID or the mainstream media version of COVID, you were lied to. And if you think that COVID was a mysterious disease that was really a big problem, that everybody was just doing their best, like that's a lie. You have to admit that's a lie now. You have to. They knew it came from a lab. They lied to you. We knew it was a lab. Obviously, they did as well. Virologist Bob Gary said at the time, I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get the bad virus or one very similar to it, COVID-19, where you insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotides, and have to be added at exactly the same time to gain this function. I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature. It's not crackpot to suggest this could have happened given the gain of function research we know was happening in Wuhan. Even Ralph Baric, world-famous gain-of-function researcher and collaborator with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Dr. Zhengli, admitted, so the Wuhan Institute of Virology has a very large collection of viruses at the laboratory, and so it's, you know, proximity is a problem. It's a problem. Yeah, they knew it came from a lab. And do you know who they sent to investigate the origin of the virus? Ralph Baric. Did he investigate the lab? No. Even though they knew that's where it came from. One in a billion chance COVID emerged from nature, scientist tells lawmakers. The COVID-19 lab leak theory, far from being a myth or conspiracy theory, is supported by a, quote, preponderance of evidence, U.S. senators today acknowledged in a historic bipartisan hearing. Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Chairman Gary Peters, a Democratic senator from Michigan, and ranking member Senator Rand Paul led the two-hour committee examining the available evidence on the origins of COVID-19. The airing was broadcast on cable television. Here is Senator Rand Paul's opening statement to that committee. Clip 6.
To answer this question, let's revisit the early days of the pandemic and examine what some of Dr. Anthony Fauci's inner circle said privately about the origins of the virus. Discussions that were only revealed through FOIA litigation. Christian Anderson wrote, "The lab escape version of this is so friggin' likely to have happened because they were already doing this type of work, and the molecular data is fully consistent with that scenario." Ian Lipkin stressed the nightmare of circumstantial evidence to assess regarding the possibility of an inadvertent release, given the scale of bat coronavirus research pursued in Wuhan. Bob Gary said, "I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from the bat virus or one very similar to it to COVID-19, where you insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotides, and all have to be added at the exact same time to gain this function. I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature." According to Gary, it's not crackpot to suggest this could have happened, given the gain-of-function research we know was happening at Wuhan. These are all private statements, which you'll discover today differ greatly from their public statements.
Yeah, they were lying in public. They were telling the truth in private. This has only been revealed through FOIA requests. But now the evidence is overwhelming. And despite the fact that you could have gotten kicked off the internet for saying this because it was misinformation, fake news, anti-vax conspiracy theories, whatever other label they use to silence the truth, and now it's all coming out. One of the expert witnesses was Dr. Stephen C. Quay. I'm going to play as much of his statement as we can get to here. So clip number 4 is Dr. Stephen Quay highlighting 6 reasons why COVID-19 is almost certainly, without a doubt, the product of a lab leak from a gain-of-function experiment. Let's watch.
I am a physician scientist and have a 50-year career spanning academic medical research, biotechnology, and scientific fraud investigation. My biography summarizes my career. I speak today, however, as an independent scientist. I do not receive any NIH or NIAID funding. Scientists dependent on NIH or NIAID funding may have pressure to publicly agree with orthodoxies that privately they admit are wrong. My approach to the COVID pandemic origin that killed 20 million plus people, caused $20 trillion in economic damage, is based on 6 approaches to the data and the events. I'll start with something Dr. Gary said privately, quote, "Someone should tell Nature," meaning the British Journal, "that the fish market probably did not start the outbreak," end quote. I agree with Dr. Gary. Unfortunately, one reason we are having these hearings is that the public statements of many virologists have not been congruent with their private conversations. In any case, I'll describe the 6 approaches to the question that all support a lab leak as a source and can go deeper into each of those with questions. First, the virus was spreading in Wuhan and around the world in the fall of 2019, months before the first case in the Hunan seafood market. This is supported by 14 observations or evidence. The evidence includes the calculation of the time to the most recent common ancestor, hospital overloads in Wuhan, antibodies in patients from Italy, Spain, and the U.S., wastewater samples from Brazil, sick athletes at the October Wuhan military games, school closings in Wuhan, and dozens of documented patients. This dismisses out of hand the market as the origin. But second, let's look at the market data. The human infections, the animal samples, and the environmental specimens, these generate 8 observations. No infected animals in the market or the supply chain were infected. No infected wildlife vendors had SARS. All human infections are the non-ancestral lineage B. The environmental specimens with animal DNA have no SARS-2. One vendor had animals from southern China where SARS-2 came from, but this vendor and his animals are negative for SARS-2. Now, only 1 of 14 environmental samples with raccoon dog DNA contains SARS reads, and that contains 1 read out of 210 million. 13 of the 14 raccoon dog DNA specimens had no SARS-2. With SARS-1, literally 100% of the market animals were infected. I frankly think it is shameful for scientists to mislead journalists and the public, saying these data I just described are evidence raccoon dogs were infected with SARS-2. This is why trust in science is broken. None of these data are consistent with an infected animal passing SARS-2 to a human at the market. The 1,500-kilometer distance to the nearest SARS-2-related virus is like the distance from Washington, D.C. to the Florida Everglades. Imagine you're at dinner at a restaurant in North Bethesda near the NIAID labs. You get sick, and you are told that the virus you caught is only found in bats from the Everglades, but it also happens to be under study at the laboratories you see outside the restaurant window. That's what the market origin people are asking you to believe. Third, documented events at or related to Wuhan Institute of Virology beginning in March 2019 are consistent with the expected activities when a lab-acquired infection has occurred. This timeline includes unusual attention from the Chinese Communist Party, leading to the PLA physician soldier being put in charge. Large tender requests to repair biosafety equipment, a virus database disappearing in the middle of the night. Large tender requests for a lab security force to, quote, handle foreign personnel. End quote. Patents for a device to prevent a lab-acquired infection. Rumors in the virology community of a new SARS virus in the lab. 30 vials of the three most dangerous viruses on the planet being shipped illegally from a lab in Canada to WIV in March. And then one of those pathogens being found as a major contaminant in a BLSA lab in December. These events taken together are a classic example of closing the barn door after the horse has left. Fourth, the evidence that is found in a natural zoonosis with respect to the animal host, the virus, and the human are missing with COVID. 96,000 animals were tested and are negative for SARS-2. 43,000 blood samples from blood donors in Wuhan were tested. A natural spillover like SARS-1 would have produced about 260 positives. A lab accident would be zero, and of course, zero is what is found.
Listen, folks, the evidence is overwhelming. That's Dr. Stephen Quay. His testimony goes on for another few minutes. We got to go to break here. I just want to explain that this is why they want InfoWars off the air. They can pretend that they didn't know this. Now, that's been exposed. We have their personal statements now. They show that they knew it was a lab leak from the very, very beginning, but so did we. So did we. And we were here telling you that it was a lab leak from before most mainstream outlets had even mentioned that COVID existed. InfoWars really is tomorrow's news today, next year's news today, next decade's news today at this point. They need us off the air to carry out their lies because they require total complicity to the deception from the mainstream and alternative media. So support us at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air and keep their lies at bay. We'll be right back.
Fox News, you see, bears a huge responsibility for sowing doubt about the vaccine, validating the anti-vaxxers as the pandemic continues.
So it's clear we can't vaccinate our way out of this.
Congressman, do you plan on complying with this ridiculous non-science-based mask mandate?
You can't force me to take a medicine I don't want. If you can do that, why can't you sterilize me or lobotomize? What can't you do to me? Most people are going along with this because they're afraid. A few brave souls are not.
The science shows the vaccine will not necessarily protect you. It's not protecting many people.
And what if Fauci's one solution doesn't work? Just entertain that idea for one moment. What if it doesn't work?
Buying a fake vaccination card is an act of desperation by decent law-abiding Americans who have been forced into a corner by tyrants. There are no vaccine passports. That's insane. It's Alex Jones stuff. And by the way, just so you know, as proof, if you want to get a job, you'll need your vaccine papers.
It is the beginning of the communist-style social credit system.
Do they embrace the crazy? Do they own it? Or are they the Romanovs of cognitive dissonance? And so a tip of the tinfoil hat to take us off the air tonight. And here's where all that stuff ends up other than the ICU. This was a highway overpass on Friday, I-75 in Texas. The banners read, vaccines kill. You are the trial. Vaccines kill. Trump won. And so an added tip of the tinfoil cowboy hat to the anti-vax army of the I-75 overpass.
Lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
Mm-hmm.